Okay, so so we left off with the problem from yesterday about Mother Vikanas, right? And figuring out the Baba Kama. Ayin Hay. Yeah, so we left off the problem about Mother Vikanas, why it is that the position which is hard, I guess, is that even if the guy preempts the witnesses, he sees the witnesses coming and he admits, you know, knowing that they're coming, so then he says you're still Pater, right? That's one possibility, right? Or do you say no? That then there's no Pater because you're not a Gavra, you're not a Gavra of Tshuva, right? The whole idea is because the Gavra is not a Ganav, he's like indicative of Tshuva, who does indicative of Tshuva, so therefore this is not indicative of Tshuva because he's doing it, he's basically doing it to beat the witnesses. But the question is, what about the slide that says it's still considered Oda? What's the logic for that? So we had some attempts yesterday. So I think you guys had enough questions on what I was saying to knock it off. Okay? And I think I have a different answer. Okay? I mean, we could review the questions, but whatever. You could listen to the tape or you remember them. So I had a different answer, which is, I guess, closer. Well, I'll say that, yeah. But the idea is that he holds that, like what you guys were saying at some point, is that it's just, it's existing there as a kosov, that there's a p'tor. Right? I mean, that's what he holds, sounds like what he holds. He says that Hodah is a p'tor, period. Okay, Hodah is a p'tor. So Hodah is a Hodah. You don't get into the Gavra, Hodah is a p'tor. But the question is, what's the sense to that? It sounds like an arbitrary thing, you know? So I was thinking, maybe you say the idea is that it's like it's an incentive. Like, for instance, you have that in America. If you come forward, you know, then we'll give you a time off or something like that. If you cooperate, then we'll give you whatever. There's an idea of an incentive of a guy to come forward. Okay, and the idea is there's a kanas. But the tzigzeres hakasav is, the tzigzeres hakasav means halachically it's working, is that if you're moda, then we won't give you the kanas. So it's like an incentive for the guy to be moda. Because in the Torah is the halacha that if you admit, then it's a p'tor. And the idea is it's an incentive. It's always tzigzeres hakasav. It's not like because now you're not such a bad guy or you're not the guy who the chayav kanas. It's an extrinsic p'tor. Like, what's the idea in America if you have an idea like that? You know, for good behavior, something like that. So it's a p'tor. I mean, if you have 5 years, but you behave for 3 years. There's an idea of an exemption. I guess it's what's the idea? It's like some sort of an incentive that if you come forward or if you behave well, then we'll give you an exemption. So, but it's not that you're not subject or you're not the god of the Gavra who deserves the knas or whatever it is, but the Torah posited that there is a way out of a kadath, which is if you admit, if you come forward and make things simple, then there's an exemption, and that's an incentive for people to admit. You know what I mean? Saying a kanas lends itself to that, because a kanas is part of the idea of a kanas is like a ticking for society. The idea of a kanas is, so it's not like justice. It's a mammon. You couldn't say this to mammon. You owe them the money. But justice of a kanas is really, it's a penalty. So the idea of penalty is because society has to have penalties, they have to have consequences. So but part of the din in the kanas is society has an idea of an exemption, has an idea of an incentive that if you come forward, then we'll give you off. And that's also part of the running of the society. So the Torah, built into the Torah's positing of kanas, it says it's not absolutely necessary the guy pays a penalty. We could give him a penalty, but we could also set up an incentive and a way to get out of it. You come forward and cooperate with us and return the guy's geneva and whatever, so then we'll give you, then we'll exempt you from the knas. So if that's the case, so then halachically, once you say it's like an incentive and it's a poter, so then you can't get into the guy's head. Then you have to say is that if you come forward prior to the case, if you reveal yourself to the bezin, then we'll give you then it'll be p'tor. That's the incentive. That's exercise gossip. That if you come forward, then we're going to give you an exemption. But that doesn't make sense, but to Yehuda's question, it doesn't make sense that we can give you an exemption if you come forward after the witnesses already came and testified. That's what kind of incentive is that? You basically, they got you. Because the idea of the incentive is that we want a guy to come forward. So the idea is, in order to get the guy to come forward, so there's an idea of an exemption. Exemption is that you reveal your guilt to the Beis Din. If Beis Din already knows about your guilt, that's not the exemption. The exemption is that you're moda. Now, it may be you're motivated because of fear, but whatever it is, the point is, once you posit an exemption, so the idea of the exemption is, as long as you reveal it to Beis Din, so then that's going to be the exemption. That's the form of the exemption. But if you learn that the exemption is not just the Torah's positing the exemption as like a reward or an incentive, but the idea of the exemption is that you're no longer the gavra who deserves the knas, because you're not a rasha, you're the tshuva. So then you have to say that you have to look into the nature of the admittance, the admission. If the admission is one which is clearly done out of to avoid the consequence, then it's not an admission of which indicates anything about the gavra, so it's not going to be a ptor. What I'm doing is I'm like kind of just saying it's gzeir sakal, like it's a halacha ptor. But I'm just saying is like it's not. See, I think if you would learn that the idea of the Torah is because the Gavra, it indicates by the Gavra, then I think it's hard to say what the Torah said, low plug. I mean, the whole idea is that Knas for a Gavra, and this is not Adah, and indicates he's not that Gavra, but this is not that kind of Adah. It's a different Adah. So I'm saying it's like, that's if you learn that that's the nature of the halacha of the Knas, of the Torah. But if you learn the Torah, it's not because you're not the guy who deserves it, but it's a super added Torah. It's built on top of it. It's a super added ptor. It's a poter. So then the sense of it is, again, is because that's part of the idea in Kanas, is the ticking of the society. So this is also part of the ticking of the society. So there's no reason we have to enforce a Kanas if the guy's coming forward. And therefore, on the contrary, what do we really want is the guy to come forward. We don't really need to give the guy a Kanas. I think I'm not just saying the reason, the incentive, but I think it's like it fits into the idea of the structure, because the idea here, the payment here is a kanas, and a kanas is a societal, it's like a ticking of the society. And a part of that system is incentives. That's part of the way a society creates ticking. It's like there's two vehicles which they could use. They use a kanas, but they could also use an incentive to exempt the guy from a kanas if he comes forward. Right? Like they have that in, there's a parking ticket. It's, $100, but if you come forward, then it's 50. I don't know, there's like, if you pay it in the mail, then we'll give you a time off. Or there are things like that. Or if you come to the court, they'll plea bargain you down. So that's part of like a system, like because like, see, originally I was looking at it as like yesterday. I was like, look, you're chayav the kanas, but the Torah came along with a ad hoc ptor. Like, but there's no sense to that. It just saying it. There's no sense. And if you just say, oh, it's because he's not the Gavra, and then the Torah made it objectified, and yeah, but now it doesn't really fit into the idea of the Kanas. Once you're saying it's because the Gavra, then go all the way and say it's the base, it's formalized in terms of the Gavra, and that's the Ptor. But here, it's like the idea of, it's giving an idea to the mechanism of a Ptor. I think it's like, otherwise, like just a pure halachic structure, which just doesn't satisfy you. It's just not satisfying. I mean, you could posit it and just say it's a ptor, but it's bothersome. It doesn't really... It's bothersome and it makes you doubt that that's really what's going on here. Like, once you have an idea behind it, then it could be halachically the idea. I don't know if, like, halachically it's formulated as an incentive. I know that's part of the halachic formulation. The formulation is a ptor. So it could be, like, the halachic formulation is the same. It just... You know, like, not any halakhic formulation, like, makes sense, even if you could just define it. So it could be it was the right definition, but I don't know, I just didn't really accept it because it just seemed like an ad hoc thing. It didn't really make sense. So now there's a sense of it. But it could be you're right, is at the end of the day, the halakhic formulation is a ptor. Ptor is a ptor. I think it's possible other svar. The other svara is, I like this way better, but you could say the svara that I was mad and maybe you were suggesting yesterday, is that really everyone agrees it's the reason I'm only telling this part is because it indicates the Gavra is not really the Gavra that I am. It's a Ptor in that framework. But then the question is it codified, is it objectified, that Modu Knas is Pater, and that's like, so to speak, the reason why the Torah positive, Ba'ochli Hoda's Hoda, or do you say it's only Hoda Shel Tshuva, so to speak? And the Oda, which is Allah, did the Torah halachically recognize different types of Odas? You know, where you say, Torah just crossed the board, said, Oda is Oda. Oda is indicative of the Gavra, and it didn't draw lines. Because that's the question. Do I draw lines like that? That's a different way to learn. It's decent. It's not bad. It's not a bad story. I think it's good.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about it. Now there's another sugya, a related sugya, in Sanhedrin, in Shavuos. Laman Gimel. I'm an Aleph, I believe. Okay. Is that right? Yeah, Laman Gimel, I'm an Aleph. Okay. So, in order to do it, we have to introduce the concept of Shavuos HaEidos. Okay, Shavuos HaEidos means as follows. If there's an obligation of a person to testify in court if he knows about, let's say, about a crime or about some sort of a monetary issue. Okay, but we're talking about monetary for now. Forget crimes. Okay, now which means is that if I have some dealings, some business dealings, okay, with Sammy, let's say. Okay, and we have some sort of a dispute. Okay, and I know that Yonah and Adam, let's say, witnessed that, and they know how to clarify the matter. So there, I have a right to be tovea them, to claim of them, to how do they call it in America?
To subpoena
the witness.
Yeah.
To subpoena the witnesses or whatever.
How do you say it again?
To be tovea, it's like a claim, to make a claim on the witnesses to come testify. And I could say, I want you guys to come testify that you know a testimony from me. And I could bring you to Beis Din. And you in Beis Din, if you come, you will have to either testify or swear that you don't know, make a shvua, that you don't know any testimony. Okay? And if you do make such a swear, right, you do swear, and you turns out you're a liar, so it turns out that you were mafsid mi mama. You caused me to lose because I had a case against Sammy. Let's say Sammy borrowed $100 from me. And you guys saw it, and Sammy's denying it. So you guys, if you would have come to testify, then I would have gotten my $100. But through your denial, you were really causing me to lose $100. So that's the institution of Shavuos HaEidos. The Torah says if you do that, then you're chayev a karbon. Okay, chayev a karbon shvua.
Okay.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Chayev karbon. Chayev mishum shavuos HaEidos. I think that's all. Chayev karbon. It's funny. It talks about all the sense. Chayev shavuos HaEidos. It doesn't say so much what you chayev. But I think it's chayev karbon. The pasuk says it's by karbon. It's a karbon. Yeah. Okay. So the main principle. Yeah. There's a regular shvua, it's called the shvuas bitoy, right? Or you swear that you ate bread or something like that. That's or you didn't eat bread or that you anything like that. That's also shvua, but it's a different category of shvua. Different category of shvua. This is like a separate. It's like this is a little different because it's like it's forced. Normal shvua is like optional. Here it's like you're forced into it. And there are different halachas. Like for instance, one halacha is if you do this b'mezid, you chayev karbon. Normally shvua, you only chayev for shogeg. I'll bring carbon for shogeg. Most sins, you only have a carbon for shogeg. This is even in b'mezid, I believe. I think the Sefer Chinuch says, you have here from b'mezid even. I think he says something like, it's a very common type of a thing. People are always, there's always testimony going on, and it's like prone to happen or something like that. And therefore, the guy also says he forgets. I don't know, I forgot. It's the kind of thing that I always saw something, I did see it, I didn't see it. It like lends itself to a person doing, and you know, mezid, whatever it is, like mezid, and it's really pretends like a shogeg, or I don't know, something like that. Like, it kind of says, like, it's the Torah probably gave you exempted you, even if it gave you a karbon, you know, a kapara, even if it's mezid. Okay, well, for whatever it is, but that's all Halacha Shavuos HaEidos, okay? But the principle is that you're mafsid, okay? The Rambam, I'll read you the Rambam, but it's the basic punchline, it's in the Talmud Peshuos, Tas Aleph. Hatoveya idav loho idlo idav shiyishchayav hanitva beidusan levada, litein hatoveya. So if you're toveya, if you claim against witnesses to testify edos, that the claimant would be chayiv to pay through this edos alone, right, to pay this money, the kafro beidusan, they deny it, v'nishbu, and they swear, Bein shnish bezin, bein shnish shulchas bezin, whether they swear in bezin or out of bezin, hari l'chayavan. Mishma shuva sayidas. Sha'arei hefsidu malmuk fi v'bikri osim. Because they caused them to lose money through their denial. Okay? Fine. So now the question is what about by kanas? What about by kanas? That's the one I want to know. Is that if there's a kanas, if I know, let's say I think someone stole from me. So I say, you witnesses, you know about this. You know that he stole from me. Okay, so I claim that you guys should testify in court that this guy stole. Or maybe a kind of stealing isn't the best case because there's also mammon. But ignore that. Let's say a knas. Let's say something where there's no monetary thing, just knas. You know. So I'm claiming that you guys should testify for me in court that this guy owes me a knas. Okay, and you lie and you falsely don't testify. Okay, and you say we swear we don't know any testimony, and turns out you're lying. So the question is, do you say that they're chayev shul seidus? Why would you say not? I mean, what's the difference? Can I ask my one who really cares? It's basically because the guy, let's say the guy would admit. Well, maybe I would have never gotten the money anyways. Because if the guy would have admit, so then I'd be potter. Right?
He would not be high.
He would not be high to buy. Can I ask? Because Kanas is strings attached. Strings attached. So that's what the Gemara brings up. Now, if you say that if the guy admits and then witnesses come later, you're still chayev. That was like Shmuel. If you say that, so then what's the difference? Then you're causing the guy to lose money. Because even if you would have admit, admittance isn't an exemption. Admitting just is an absence of evidence. But when you would have come as witnesses, you would have been chayev. So then of course you're going to be chayev. But according to the opinion who says that once he admits, he's totally off the hook, even if you witnesses come, so then the witnesses will always say, hey, we didn't make you lose money. It's a good chance the guy would have admitted anyways. And you wouldn't have gotten your money anyways. So you can't really say that we're causing you to lose. Right? Okay, so that's what Gemara is going to ask. Okay? That's our goal is to explain, to define that question. Okay, so it says it's lamigim lanav. You buy the mashpia ede kanas mahu. If you make ede kanas, witnesses about a kanas, if you make them swear, aliba derush elazar Rav Shimon lo to buy lecha. According to Elazar Rav Shimon, there's no question. Amar yivo edim yidu. Does he hold that witnesses could always come and testify and be mechayev the guy money? So of course, why would you say that you that why is it any different? Of course, mechayev. Ki to buy lecha aliba derabanan. Amar yivo de bekanas vaachach bo edim potter. According to the Rabbanan, who hold that if you admit, and then when he says come, you're still potter, then we have a question. Okay, Rashi. Rashi explains the question. Later on, the Gemara also explains it. The Gemara says, I'll jump down a little. It says, my. Kiva, I'm just jumping, this is a side point. Kiva, the Ilumoda, Miftar, Labim, Monica, Kafar, right? Do you say that since if he would have admit, he would have been potter, therefore it's not really like a denial of mammon. It's not really a mammon that they're denying, because maybe he would admit. Or do you say, look, mammon is now he didn't admit. It's true, if he would have admitted, there wouldn't have been a chiyuv mammon, but he didn't admit. He's not admitting. You can't just say maybe he'll admit. He's not admitting, and there's a chiyuv mammon. Okay, Rashi explains it a little bit more. He says, okay, kiti ba'ilcha Rashi, kiti ba'ilcha v'zeh hishpiyam kodim shod debalden. So now you make them swear before he admits. Of course, if he already admit, obviously there's nothing to talk about. But you make them swear before the guy admits. He doesn't admit. V'im heidu hayim mischayev. If they would have testified, he would have been chayev. Umihu hami ba'ilcha. This is the question. Yimechayev yalo mishan dikal meimar knas lav mamon gamoru. Okay, Rashi puts in a little bit because maybe you'll say a knas is not mamon gamor. It's not real money. Because if he would have admit, he'd be totally potter. So therefore, it's not real money. But you could also argue, on the contrary, as long as he doesn't admit, it's money. It is money. I don't think this is going to take that long. So I'll just tell you a totally different question which comes up, okay? Which is, I just thought, a very interesting point. Which is that there's something called a gosis. Okay? Something called a gosis. A gosis is a guy who's basically like on his deathbed. Okay? He's like on his deathbed. He's gonna die. He's about to die. He's gonna die. Something to that effect. Okay? The question is let's say... Okay, so let's say Beshavu say this. Okay, let's say there's two sets of witnesses who know about a crime. Okay? Two sets of witnesses. Well, they know about a monetary obligation. So I go to the first witnesses. I say, I want you guys to swear that you don't know anything, and they swear falsely. And then the second witnesses come, and they swear falsely. So who's chayev? Which one should be chayev karban shva?
The last two.
The last guys.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes. Why not the first guys?
Because the last guys has a potential to have said it properly, and at the same time.
Okay, what about the first guys? Why not the first guys? Why aren't the first guys chayev?
Because they could have always been, their position could have been removed by the next guy.
Right, because they'll always say is that we didn't cause you to lose money because there are these other eidim. There's the idea that you have to be the cause of the loss. So they'll say, look, there's other guys. We just don't want to testify. Go ask them. But once the first guys are knocked out and they deny it, so then the second guys, it's all tall hanging in them, and therefore the second guys are going to be chayev. Okay? But the Gemara has a case that the first guys are, the Mishnah has a case that the first guys are chayev. So what does it say? The Gemara says, what's the case? The case is if the second group of witnesses are relatives. So they're not really kosher eidos. So it says, of course. And the witnesses, and there's only one set of eidos, there's nothing to teach us, right? So it says, no, it's talking about where they were relatives. What kind of relatives are they? They're brothers-in-law. Okay, they're brothers-in-law. They're the husbands, okay, the husbands of two sisters. Okay? And they can't testify together. That's halacha. But the two sisters are gosisim. They're on their deathbed. Both sisters are on the deathbed. And the halacha is that the rov gosim lemisa, most gosim end up dying. So you might say, since they're rov gosim lemisa, so you basically consider them like they're dead. Right, so it's like they're already dead, and since it's like they're already dead, it's like the second group is still kosher to testify. It was like they're kosher to testify, and therefore the first group is really not causing them to lose anything because he had to sell the second group. Kamash Malan, it's teaching you now that even though most ghosts of them are going to die, but they're not dead yet. Malan is not dead. That's what's teaching you. Funny, right?
In other words, the brother-in-laws are still...
still related. Currently, they're still related. And the fact that Rob goes to the Misa doesn't affect anything. So where is this idea of Rob goes to the Misa? Where does it come up? So it turns out it comes up like this. It's like, because the question is, what's this principle of Rob goes to the Misa? So turns out there's a case. Let's say a guy is ill. He's old and ill. And he gives his wife a get. He sends a get with some witnesses overseas and says, deliver this get to my wife. So now you can't deliver a get if the guy's dead. So the question is, could he give the get and assume that the guy's alive? Okay? Assume the guy's alive. How did he ever deliver the get? So the answer is he could. He could assume the guy's alive. Unless he's a gosis. If he's a gosis, he's on his deathbed, since rov gosim lemisa, since most gosim are die, so therefore you can't deliver that get. Okay, you can't deliver the get. So that's where Rov Gosim Lemisa applies. That's the case. And the question in here, in this Gemara, is do you say similarly, Rov Gosim Lemisa is going to say that they're not considered relatives, and therefore, right, they're not going to be relatives, and therefore they're a good group of Eidim and all that. You know, the rest follows. So like, how many Raskana about what Rov Gosim Lemisa teaches you? Does it only apply to that kind of case? You know, where you can't deliver the get because you assume he's going to die? Or does it even apply to this case to say that they're not even relatives? Which is strange, though, because what are you going to say? The Havmina is that he's dead? He's not. She's not dead. I mean, most of them do die, but to say, you know, now he's dead, I mean, could you kill him? Do you bury him? I mean, it's hard. I mean, he's alive, it would seem. Is he chayv in mitzvos? And whatever. I mean, just so what do you mean he's dead? Strange shavin, right? Now, what's the idea? It would be nice to get into what's the idea of a ghost. Because that's a havin, but the maskana is it doesn't apply, but it does apply to the case of the get. So apparently, a ghost has some halachic status, some halachic value to ghost is. That case is quoted in this Tosis here on the top of. This is right here, by the way. That's why I thought of it. It's on. It's in Gittin Chav Chas. But it's a Gemara in the Shavu Islamic Gemara, Tosis quotes it. So if you want to look at it. So if we have time tomorrow, maybe we could deal with that also. Okay, but for starters, I want to just take up our question about Kanas. This is just an interesting thing that's here.